This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack, Mike Ryan, the stick, Mike. What is up, sir?
What's up, buddy?
Man, my God, what a great show we have.
I'm super excited.
I'm excited as well. This is, I feel like a little kid. I know that it's hokey to say that. But I do. Jim Davis, creator of Garfield, on the Stick and Hack Show. I believe that this means we've officially made it. Is that correct?
That's what I've been told.
And people are probably wondering, what does Jim Davis have to do with golf? What does Garfield have to do with golf? Well, we don't care. We have the creator of Garfield on
that's
the show.
Right.
And so that's the start and end of that discussion.
Yeah.
No, Jim is a golfer. He is a lover of golf. He's a Stick and Hack member. And more specifically, he is a world-renowned cartoonist and artist and creator of one of the most iconic cartoon characters of all time, Garfield. He is on the show with us here in just a little bit. The most sophisticated golf show in the free world, from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. Stick and Hack Show presented this week by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and use the code STICKANDHACK for 20% off their products. First up, though, let's talk about the characters of golf, Mike. Okay?
Yep.
And speaking of, well, first of all, Let me do my due diligence here. Speaking of characters of golf and characters in general, let's talk about Manscaped for just a half second.
Okay.
Now, does this make you uncomfortable at all? Because I can already see it start to tense up on you. Manscaped and Manscaped.com.
Not at all, man.
All right, good. So during the quarantine, I'm sure that Manscaped, there was a big need for that.
Yeah.
All over the place. The redesigned electric trimmer, the Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest trimmer ever created and just released their new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. Millions of joules are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past, Mike. I know that's been a problem for you for many, many years.
Always, man.
All right.
It's never a fun. No, it's just not fun.
It's not the best.
No.
They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. All things I was not aware of until
this. How many RPMs?
7,000, which is like a,
wow.
What is that?
It's like a Ferrari.
Maybe that should be their new tagline. The Ferrari of manscaping. Manscaped is a proud sponsor. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping by using the code STICKANDHACK. Thank you for their support. All right, now to the characters of golf. The golf is full, especially today, of either the boring, the cheaters, the outlandish, and the tigers.
Yep.
Right? That's pretty much what it is. Back in the day, I wouldn't call anybody right now a major character of golf where they are just you want to watch them because you want to watch them. You don't really care about their game.
Yeah.
Ricky Fowler's tried to be a bit of a character with his colors and his outfits and all that stuff.
Right.
But I wouldn't.
His mustaches.
His mustaches. Exactly. He could use
Manscaped.com.
Stick and hack. 20% off from free shipping. This is already annoying. All right. So I looked up and this is my list of characters. Now this is up for debate. Obviously it's an entire point of the show, but, Craig Stadler,
yep,
would be a character of golf. In fact, we wrote a piece, about the 9 members of your country club on Stick and Hack.
Yeah.
And so we were going to look now at the top several characters of golf. These are people that you just say, my God, look, I just want to be around them. They just look fun.
Yeah.
Right? And you just love watching them play.
Well, anybody with the name The Walrus.
Right. Right. And then Craig Stadler, portly, bushy in appearance, and he had one of the best and most effective swings in modern golf. His emotions always showed on his face. He won the 1982 Masters. Ironically, Stadler has developed into something of a clothes horse, right? I mean, he started an entire new wardrobe and his own line of golf apparel called Walrus Wear, which I had to practice on the way here to the show saying Walrus Wear.
I'm not even going to try. I thought about it and it wasn't going to be good.
Stads, Craig Stadler. He has a son that played golf too, right?
He does.
And what's his situation?
They look and act similarly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The other character of golf, Lee Trevino, And he is one of the great personalities and performers on the course. He was relatively unknown until the 1968 U.S. Open, which happened to be his first tour victory. He would win 29 times on the tour, six majors. But he was really known for his outlandish and outrageous one-liners. Kind of like, what's his name?
Yogi Berra.
Thank you very much. I about to say Mickey Rourke. Oh, my God. Mickey Rourke.
Whoa.
He is outrageous. Anyway, he has one of Lee Trevino's famous lines, pressure is playing for $10 when you don't have a dime in your pocket.
Yep.
But Trevino, one of those characters. You agree with that?
Absolutely. He's also probably one of the most beloved people from PGA Tour and just a overall amazing person and nice guy.
He was a nice guy, right?
From what I've read and seen throughout the years.
Have you ever met him?
I have not.
Okay. So you actually have no firsthand knowledge.
Knowledge of that. I'm going totally based on
internet research,
which is always reliable.
One of the other top personalities, you can't do a list of characters of golf without talking about Chi-Chi Rodriguez.
Yes.
He was a comedian on tour, and in the 1960s and 70s, he had a smile and jokes, but at that time, Hispanics in golf did not get a lot of attention.
Yeah,
and Chi-Chi broke down that barrier, and he said, "No, I'm gonna make them pay attention to me."
Yeah,
and he did. He's known obviously for his sword. The routine after you make a putt.
Swashbuckling sword swinger.
And it is mimicked probably 1,000 times a day in courses across the country.
Yeah, for sure.
Some guy named Brett out there trying to
I'm sure there are guys doing it now that don't even know why.
They have no idea
who did
exactly
it
right.
Or where it came from.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's some 25-year-old kid.
I saw somebody do it.
Named Jake out there doing it. Brett and Jake. But Chi-Chi, he was a comedian. He was so fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I know that at the time it wasn't frowned upon, but people were like, what is this guy about? You remember the guy that did the Gangnam Style dance after he hit a putt?
Yes.
Do you remember him?
Yes.
What's his name? I'm putting you on the spot. I apologize.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Binyan?
It might have been Binyan.
Yeah. I don't know. But that is missing in golf. And Chi-Chi was just a master at that. And people they wanted him to make an 8-footer just so that he could do something cool.
Yep.
Chi-Chi, we miss that type of personality. But honestly, the number one character, I'm gonna let you guess. I'm gonna pretend you haven't looked at the show rundown, which I can assume you haven't. But I'm gonna give you an opportunity to guess the number one character in golf. Of all time.
Well, I mean, it's a layup.
Right.
I mean, John Daly.
John Daly.
That's
not even a question.
Most
outrageous golfer ever, John Daly. He was loud. He is loud.
Yeah, he's still with us.
Yeah. No, sorry. I think all these guys aren't they?
As far as I know.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Can someone check to see if Lee Trevino is still alive?
Yes, I know he is.
Oh, he is? All right.
Chi-Chi's the only one I would be maybe concerned about.
Anybody know Chi-Chi Rodriguez is? No. Why do we have this staff here? We have 35 people behind the scenes of this show, and not one of them is even listening to
it. Well, it's not. We don't pay them, so.
That's a good
why
point.
Should we?
That's a great point. Why should they care even a little bit? John Daly, he won the PGA Championship at Crooked Stick in Indianapolis. That put him on the map, and then from then on, he was this loud, big swinging, 325, 330 yard drives. Doesn't care.
Yeah.
Smoked, drank on the course. He's been married 3 or 4 times. Has an RV. He signs autographs at Hooters right next to Augusta. This is the top personality in golf then and now. If JD is around, and he's a country artist, he is an entrepreneur, he's a gambler, he's an addict,
yep.
He's everything. He's everything that you love and everything that you hope to be someday, but are glad you're not.
Daly is so relatable, and people just connect with him mainly for his flaws.
Right.
They view him as a human, and he never tries to hide the fact that he's a human. That's the thing.
I think
he's very open and honest with the public and people in interviews and when he talks to them about who he is and the problems he's had in life.
And he is the perfect stick and hack ambassador because he could shoot a 68 and he could shoot an 80 the next day.
Or a 90.
Or a 90 and not care.
Right. True.
And just walk off and go drink.
Yeah.
JD, John Daly, is one of the top characters in golf. Right. And really the most colorful player that we've ever come across. And I don't think there'll be somebody like him. And he didn't win a lot. And that's what made him cool.
He won enough, though.
Yeah, but he didn't win. I mean, he wasn't.
He won the British Open twice. Oh, well. Won the PGA Championship.
What the hell do I know, Mike?
I don't know. Clearly. No, I'm kidding.
I know he signs autographs at Hooters. I do know that fact.
He didn't win as much as he probably could have.
Right.
If he would have, you know.
Kept the flask out of the bag.
Like, you know, walked a couple laps here and there. walked a couple laps.
Maybe mix in a salad,
yes,
John.
Yes.
All right. So we move on. Speaking of characters, the conversation, cartoonist and Stick and Hack member, Jim Davis, creator of Garfield, who turns 42 years old and is the most iconic cartoon character of our generation, if not all generations. We are proud and honored to have Mr. Davis on the program and as a member of Stick and Hack. Jim, how are you?
That's fine. Good to see you, Adam. Good to see you, Mike.
Hello, Jim.
So, you know, this is a pretty cool moment for us. I know you probably get this a lot, and you're very sweet to take your time and be on the show. Golf is important to you. It's been a part of your life for many, many years, we're going to do our best to talk about golf, but it's very challenging to not just say thank you right off the bat for what you created and the cartoon that you probably don't even realize how it affected so many lives, so many kids. Kids still today, my kids included, know the name Garfield. And you created him 42 years ago, and to this day, he is still iconic. He is still mesmerizing. He is still funny. And the cast of characters that you created is probably one of the most beloved in all of comics. How does that resonate with you today, knowing what you have done with Garfield over these years?
I try not to think about it because the pressure would crush me if I thought about it every time, you know, I did a gag. I know what comics meant to me when I was growing up, and if it had half the effect on anybody else, I can understand that for sure, because, you know, I grew up with Peanuts and Beetle Bailey and High and Lois, DC, Wizard of It. And it meant a lot, because think about it. We, you know, every morning we have breakfast with those characters day in, day out for as long as 50 years. And I guess it's one thing in our life that shows that you can go back. There is something that you can count on, you know, right. And it's positive too. I know if we balance the scales a little bit, between, you know, very real, sometimes depressing things going on in the news, you know, we have the humor and give people a little smile.
Yep.
Do you find humor in golf?
Yeah, absolutely. I find humor in everything, but yeah, absolutely with golf.
What would you say in your golf life is one of those things where you look at it and every single time, like, every single time it's funny. Either maybe it's somebody falling down. Maybe it's somebody whiffing on their shot. Maybe it's somebody throwing a tantrum. What do you, Jim Davis, find hilarious about the game of golf?
I think it's the meltdown when somebody just bears their soul. Some person who's like very controlled, very professional, and they're locked in. You get up on a golf course and it all comes out. It's like, you know, jumping and whirling and throwing the clubs and everything like that. Yeah, you know, you never do in front of family or associates or anything like that. It's an honest moment. And I have to step away sometimes because I know they're in pain, but I'm behind a tree laughing. I think it's hysterical.
So, Jim, let's talk about your golf game. How long have you been playing golf? And, you know, what is it about golf that you find so enjoyable and keeps you coming back to the game?
I started golf seriously in 1985, because before that I was a jogger, I played racquetball, I played tennis, things like that. But I had an old gymnastics injury from college, and I had to have a back operation, a laminectomy. So they said, the doctor said, after this you can walk and you can play golf. And so I said, okay, I'll give it a try. Fell in love with it because I get walking down a grassy fairway on a sunny day is so cathartic.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it really does. And it's, I guess, yeah, you know, the challenge of the game, yeah, can be frustrating, but it's also having fun with your mind and right. at attacking a challenge like that. Like, yeah. Well, I know you had Noah, the peaceful golfer. Yeah. I like to play Zen golf. Yeah. I'm not worried about the shot I just hit. I'm not laboring over the shot I'm going to hit. I just play golf in the ever-present, tapping into the sum total of my motor nervous memories, you know. And to relax.
What the hell are you talking about, Jim?
Oh, well, some days I can even rise to a higher plane and channel the great golfer.
Oh, my.
I love it.
Or more often in my case, like Charles Barkley. But, it's just that it's a long walk. It's a casual, you know, chat with friends. It's such a great time, a great escape. I love it.
Well, as a creative, I can assume that you are in your mind a lot, and you're looking at things, you're seeing things, and you're always thinking, just like a painter or a sculptor or a photographer or anybody in the creative space, you're looking at something, you're saying, okay, how can I turn that into something that can be useful for me in my everyday? Well, what types of personalities and what types of things would you see on the golf course where you would say, okay, boom, that's at least, maybe it's not about golf, but at least that's a temperament or a personality quirk that you can move and work into your characters at Garfield?
I think it's watching people process things that you watch. Some people are playing with other people's minds, like Lee Trevino always did, you know, with his comments and stuff like that. So trash talk and having fun, I pick up gags from that. And then it's watching people trying to play over their heads, you know, trying to hit the impossible shots. I can't get my camera out fast enough, you know, try to record some of those moments. It's the humanity in the game. I guess that's it. It runs the gamut from, you know, joy to rap and then the physical stuff, you know, it happens. The throwing of the clubs that, you know, I've never seen a driver come down out of a tree ever.
Same.
You know? Yeah. So I saw a just flip his driver over a little grassy knoll. There was a lake over there. Never saw that. That's stuff, the physical gag.
Yeah.
So this Friday, Jim, we release and bring to the public, and more specifically to Stick and Hack members and Stick and Hack Nation, Hack Mulligan, which is our comic, and we are bringing that to the world. And it is being built around that theory of the characters of golf, and that at any point the game is funny, and it does humanize you, and it humbles you, and it showcases your best and your worst, and it's everything that you say about your game, you can say about people. And so Hack Mulligan is really an embodiment of all of us as golfers and those that we see around us, because with the exception of Mike and a few select, you know, one percenters out there that are very good at golf, most of us are not. And, you know, we can be, but typically we're not. And so Hack Mulligan is bringing that in. And as a creator of one of the most beloved cartoon characters and personalities and cast of characters and a family. For you, when did you think, oh my God, this is happening? People are starting to recognize Garfield. People are starting to pick it up and being syndicated. I've got a crew of staff. When did you say Garfield is Garfield?
It was actually very early on. I was syndicated June 19th, 1978. In August, I had 40 papers. In August, our biggest paper, the Chicago Sun-Times, dropped Garfield because they had a budget cutback and decided to cut their newest feature because they would get the least grief. And within a week, they had like 1,300 phone calls, letters, everything poured in demanding that Garfield be returned. And I think it was the cat lovers who initially, you know, came to Garfield's defense. And they reinstated it. I thought right then, I go, okay, I have something at any rate that people are enjoying already. So I think just the fact that I had an animal, I remember the Washington Post didn't take Garfield initially because the editor said, I don't want a strip I can't draw. And he saw an animal strip. He said, no animal strips. And so early on, I felt like I had something there.
Well, don't ever underestimate the cat lovers. I think that's the real rule that we're learning here.
Absolutely.
So you were syndicated in 1978. You were in 40 papers, and then at some point, someone said, "Okay, let's turn this into an animated short. Let's turn Garfield into a color. Let's bring more characters. Let's keep this going. On running a weekly strip is enough on its own." But then for someone to say, "Okay, now you need a 30-minute show, and now you need Saturday morning cartoons, and now you need this, this, and this." At that point, did you say, "Okay, this has gone further than I had originally intended. I just wanted to do a weekly strip," or were you like, "Yeah, this is where I see Garfield and where I want it to be"?
My big dream was to have enough papers so that I could make enough income to not have to do freelance. So I wanted to be able to be full-time cartoonist. That was my dream. Everything else was just icing on the cake. But I had worked in advertising, commercial art, and things like that. And actually, it was very exciting to get the opportunity to do things like publishing and design book covers and posters. And then when TV came along, I thought, well, oh, this will be great. In fact, in ways, working with television, with animation, is easier than doing a comic strip because you get to let a gag run for as long as you want in animation. But in a newspaper, you only have 7 inches, 3 frames to
right.
set up a gag, twist it, and resolve it in very few comic lines. So when TV came along, it gave me an opportunity to examine the Garfield character and turn him over and do things with him that I didn't have the time or space to do in the newspaper. And so I think that also introduced him to another audience as well and contributed to the following. So it was all good.
Yeah, Jim, that's actually a perfect segue into my next question, which, and I know you've probably been asked this 1,000 times, but what did the creative process look like for you on a daily basis trying to create new gags and put out a new strip every day?
I don't write every day because I'm not funny every day.
Right.
You know, some days focused on something else, doing
sure.
something else, and then funny days write. And I put everything aside, and I write on those days, and I can do, several days worth of writing on those days. And it's like a working meditation for me, because what I do, I sit back, and I imagine Garfield until I can conjure him up in my head, like watching a TV set in my mind. And I don't tell him what to do. I can put him in a situation. I can have him look out a window, go to the beach, put him up a tree, something like that, and then I watch. And I ask myself, what would he do? Where would he go? What would he say? What would the other characters do and say? And then when something funny happens, I back up 3 frames and I cut it off. So I edit. He dictates the humor. He has to make me laugh first, and then I write it down. So it sounds kind of odd that I just sit back and basically daydream and watch him until he does a gag.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I can recognize a gag, and then I write it down after. That's basically how I write.
The just for the listeners out there and the layperson, a gag is the joke, but it's a industry term utilized for the punchline and what that little micro scene is.
Yep.
And don't underestimate the difficulty of trying to develop a story and an idea and an issue and a protagonist. And then an end punch in 3 frames and in less than 25 words as rules. There are all so many different rules. There's rules in television, rules in movies, rules in this little dog and pony show here that we're doing. but there's rules that you kind of created for yourself for Garfield, and you tried to stay within those boundaries. Is that correct?
Yeah, I do as few lines, I do as few words as possible, because the trick is to arrive at the punchline at the precise time that the reader does. Now, they're reading it in their head, so they're going faster than you could ever talk or tell a joke. And so if you can arrive at the punchline just a nanosecond before they figure it out, that evokes that involuntary laugh response, or at least that's my philosophy of it. So I don't try to make it do so much art, and do silhouettes and so many words that they've already figured out the gag before they got to the gag. That's disappointing. Or I don't try to make it so convoluted that they haven't figured the gag out for a while and we lose the timing in the last frame. So the trick is the simplicity, flow through it. They don't want to spend a long time with a comic strip anyway. There are other comic strips. You want to get on with the day. So keep it simple, funny, a little bit out of left field, a little bit off balance, something relatable. More often than not, when people laugh, the gag is because you're saying, isn't that true?
Right.
That's more important than being funny, actually.
Yeah.
So that way you touch the reader, they relate to it, and after 50 years, there's a certain amount of affection that's developed for it. So that's the trick.
I can't imagine someone creating something and then in their head thinking, okay, in 42, 45 years, 50 years, a lifetime, this character is still going to be relevant. Garfield is still relevant today, and you could go back. It's evergreen in its humor because of what you just said. It's just everyday things that are happening, and that takes me to comics in general. And growing up at the age, I'm just a shade younger than Garfield, as I believe Mike is as well. I don't know much about Mike, but I can assume that he's about the same age. the fact that I grew up with Far Side. I grew up with Family Circus. I grew up with Garfield, Snoopy, Calvin and Hobbes, very iconic characters, Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead. So those are the people that I grew up with, and I'm sure Mike did as well.
Yeah.
Did you look at those as competitors? Were you guys more friendly? Did you know Gary Larson? Did you know some of these other writers and cartoonists? Or did you guys have a Saturday conference call? Like, what happened in the world of cartoonists?
Cartoonists are the biggest fans of the other cartoonists. There's zero competition between them because everybody writes a little bit differently. In fact, we go, wow, how'd they come up with that gag? Or wow, how do they draw that character like that? And so everybody's got a little different spin. So we're not actually competitive, you know, in that sense. And, it's like a bunch of big kids getting together during the annual awards, Rubens, we call it. And then for many years, too, there was a PGA tournament called the BC Open in upstate New York, or Nineveh. And I would get together several cartoonists, the golfers among them, and play golf on the pro-am before the PGA tournament. So that ran for several years. And it's just a great time. It's a bunch of silly guys and girls getting together and laughing. So pretty much making fools of ourselves on a golf course, but always a good time. And like I say, we're huge fans of each other. It's nice work if you can get it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. If you can get it.
Yeah. If you can get it. Yeah. It's sparse.
Yeah, you're spot on there, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
Being a world-renowned cartoonist is great work if you could get it. what of those that I mentioned, though, to go back to that for a second, which one was your favorite? Were you more Far Side-esque, or did you like Beavis and Butthead or Family Circus?
Actually, there are pieces of each of those that I really like, that the Beavis and Butthead. I mean, that's sophomoric. I can't get enough of that stuff. I would say certainly the Far Side was very thoughtful. I mean, Gary Larson, by education, he was a zoologist, you know. And now these days, even though he's retired from doing the panel, he's playing at the Seattle nightclub, you know, and writing children's books and stuff like that. So it's really a wonderful group of guys. So I grew up on Peanuts. I learned about the power of the gentle gag and the great relationships and the very simple lines with Beetle Bailey. Mort Walker always referred to us as Bigfoot cartoonists. We drew big hands and big feet and did big gags and stuff like that. And so that... Yeah, just good-natured kind of physical humor between the characters. And certainly with Johnny Hart, with BC, just the humor was just out of left field and just big, stupid words and dinosaurs that would say gronk, you know, and the general silliness of it was showed me one thing, which is really very important those guys were having fun doing the strips, and as a result, people had fun reading them. It's attitude, and you can't legislate it. You gotta have fun doing it, and so that another reason why it's such a great job to have.
There is a story that the ad agency for Geico, and this is a story, but allegedly true. The ad agency and the guy that came up with the caveman ad campaign for Geico was a BC fan and was a comic fan, and had the idea and the concept based upon his love for the comic BC. And it's so funny. And the Geico commercials were iconic in their own right with the caveman.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny to think that somebody's childhood experience would then bring them into, hey, why don't we do this? And it become a massive success on its own. I don't know if that's true or not. I might've just made that up, but no, it's true. I promise.
Jim, one question I had in my mind, who on the PGA Tour is Garfield most like?
Well, the obvious one would be John Daly, but quite frankly, I'd have to give the nod to Craig Stadler.
There we go.
Come on. He was, when he was playing, I just loved to watch him move. He'd seem grumpy, but then you'd see him smile. You know, he's got a kind of grumpy exterior, you know, when he's playing, but you could tell he had a real soft heart. And I think that's the magic to Garfield, too. He's not perfect, but he's cool with that. And so I would say he's definitely Craig Stadler.
We're with Jim Davis, creator of Garfield, here on the Stick and Hack Show. You know, Garfield's iconic, no doubt about it. Massive success, many, many years. Kids love him. Parents love him. They love the entire characters and the plush toys and the shirts and all that stuff. It's amazing. But would you agree that the Garfield suction cup is a bit much? And can we just, for the love of God, be done with that?
Yeah, that was late 80s, early 90s. It was too much of a good thing. Seriously, if you'd been behind the scenes, what happened was I had actually designed the dolls with Velcro because cats like to climb curtains, and we thought, wouldn't that be fun to have Velcro in them, and people would stick the dolls to the curtains and stuff like that. And it came back from China with suction cups. I go, what? So I said, okay, we'll stick it to the window here, and if it's up for a couple of days, we'll approve it. So we approved it. And next thing, people were putting them in their cars. And then somebody broke into a car, and they stole the doll, leaving all of the sound equipment, a purse, and all kinds of stuff in the car. And it made headlines. And that started a rash of break-ins in cars to steal the dolls, which means people were buying more of the dolls when I got that publicity. And it started this whole thing, and tens of millions of dolls sold all over the world. It started this huge rage, and they marked them up to like $80 a piece and everything. We told our manufacturer, stop making all of the dolls. Get an order for 10,000, make 5,000. don't ship them. Well, they didn't. They didn't control it. Believe it or not, when the contract was up for that manufacturer, we didn't renew it. It was a huge percentage of our income. We didn't make another doll for 5 years. We dried the market up just to get them out of there. And now, even to this day, no more than 25% of any plush order can be with suction cups. Not that there's, you know, that's a rage good anymore, but just, you know, generally on principle. Yeah. But it was too much of a good thing. I saw what happened to Cabbage Patch Kids. You saw what, you know, anything that gets that popular is too popular, and you wear yourself out. Yeah. We only have, as opposed to Disney, that has, you know, right, hundreds of characters, we only had, you know, one orange character, and so we always had to watch the brand for that reason. But you nailed it. It's too much of a good thing.
Now, to be fair, though, if Hack Mulligan becomes a plush toy with the suction cups, I'm going to make about 5,000 of those a day. There's no doubt about that, because that's literally what we want. We want Hack Mulligan on the back of someone's window.
That would be incredible.
Someday,
Adam.
Yeah, someday. By the way, this Friday, Hack Mulligan hits your inbox and as well as Instagram and other areas of Stick and Hack. It's our take on the golf cartoon. We're with Jim Davis, creator of Garfield. The question. I know, Mike, you have a question, but just to touch back on the PGA comic deal, whatever the hell it's called.
Yes.
What's it called? Pro-Am.
Pro-Am.
The Pro-Am. Did you ever win that? Did you ever play well? Was that just something that you did for fun and were with your buddies and hanging out, or did you take that seriously?
That was a PGA tournament, so we always played in the Pro-Am days before the actual tournament started. There was a short shot contest, though, where I won that, teamed up with Brett Faxon on a chip and putt, and of course, he's one of the greatest putters ever. And that was fun. And actually, I played around with John Daly.
Oh, you did?
And
awesome.
Yeah. I have to tell this story. I got to say those three words everyone ever wanted to say. It's Johnny Hart with BC, John Daly and I, par five. He tees off with a 2-iron, and he wasn't too happy with it. He just hit it a little bit. I tee off 50 yards in front of him and hit a career driver that went about 3 yards past John's drive. Johnny and I ran up to the ball, and as soon as John Daly arrived, I got to say, "You're away, John." And Johnny Hart and I started hitting each other and then wrestling. We're finding we're on the ground. We're laughing, rolling. And John Daly standing there looking at us. He was the nicest guy.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years after he won the PGA there at Crooked Stick. It was 93, I think it was. And he was a sweet man. He was nice to everybody. And it was a great experience.
That's awesome. You know, Jim, why is it, you know, when people like myself and Adam, we think back about Garfield and we get this childlike feeling, you know, why do you think, you know, people get that sort of nostalgic feeling about Garfield and thinking back about iconic characters like that?
When you read a character as you're growing up and you learn to read, and maybe it helps teach you to read. Then you go to school. Then you marry. Then you raise a family. Then you become a grandparent. And you're reading that same character, doing the same thing day in and day out. I think it's that kind of constant, that kind of affection you develop over the course of a lifetime. You think, this has been here with me my entire life. And maybe, you know, maybe feel a little better at certain times, but I think it's that part of it. It's really hard to explain. It's not like a TV series that's in and out in a few seasons. It's not like other things that age and grow away. You know, Daisy's or Blondie's still hot.
She never ages.
They're constant and same positive and they're there for you and they're there for one reason, and that's to entertain and make you feel better. There's nothing not to like about it. I think that's it.
Jim, what are your favorite character traits of Garfield, Odie, and John?
Okay. Garfield's realistic. In a time where we're made to feel guilty about overeating and oversleeping, not exercising, he does all those things, and he's cool with that. I think he relieves our guilt in some way.
Yeah.
He's a very honest guy. He's very realistic. And he's just out after the basic things we're all out for, and that's food, shelter, and love. You know, it's that simple. He's a purist. Odie loves everybody, loves everything. He's a free spirit. There's just something refreshing about him. He's got that innocence of childhood. And you know he'll never lose that. I think he's sweet. We started a Facebook site for Odie, and occasionally posted an art. That's all he would say, but he doesn't talk. Okay, you know, 3 million fans.
right. He's got 3 million fans on that Facebook page, and I think your mom and my mom are fans of
that's
our.
That's our audience.
And John's I'm John. He's eternally, you know, he loves Mondays. He's just eternally optimistic and he's loving and giving. You know, he's insecure a little bit, but he's always looking on the bright side of things. You know, he's just, he's always up. I think he's every man. He's all of our insecurities and everything. So you gotta like him for his attitude. At least he's giving it the old college try.
Yeah. I think you can learn a lot from those character traits, and you can, you're reading the comics are not just about humor, but about getting to know the characters and then embodying them in your best way and say, look, if John can be excited about Mondays, well, so can I. And I know that they're two-dimensional characters and they're made up and they're fictional. I get that. But there is something you can learn from going through that and being a part of their lives. The last question, Jim, is what are your favorite character traits about us, Mike and Adam, Stick and Hack?
I'd have to say your humility.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. That's a cop-out answer. I'm looking for an actual compliment. But
well, you're not that complex, Adam. So
no, I'm not. You're exactly right, and we know you're not.
Absolutely not. I am as simple as they come.
You want to talk about somebody of the two of us? I would say that you're more like Garfield, and I'm more like John.
Absolutely.
Eternally optimistic. You are pretty one-dimensional. You have a wife. You play golf, and you go to work.
That's right.
End of day.
Absolutely.
Right.
So keep it simple.
Go. Yeah.
So and then you I didn't, eat. You and didn't, then I eat yeah, at some eat, point. Along the way.
And don't exercise. You didn't know this. But you created Garfield and the Mike Ryan complex.
That's right.
Well,
you know they need each other. You guys need each other for that very reason. You know, it's those contrasts, those conflicts, that make for real relationships.
Hey, buddy. Excellent. There. How about that? There we go. Jim Davis, creator Garfield, on the Stick and Hack Show. Jim, thank you so much for your time and just congratulations on everything. You changed generations. You created something iconic and amazing. And we couldn't be more happy to have you on the show and share just a brief bit of your wisdom and your career and your love for golf. Thank you for being a Stick and Hack member as well, Jim.
Well, thank you, guys. Great talking to you.
You too. Enjoy your day. There he goes, everybody. Jim Davis, creator Garfield. What a incredible honor and a great conversation. That's one of those shows that could go on for a couple hours. I mean, the stories he has, I'm sure, are just remarkable.
That was awesome. That's like childhood.
It is. I know. And you feel, as he was talking about those characters, he was talking about just, and I'm seeing the scenes of Garfield in my head, and it just is really, really cool. So thank you to Jim for the time, and hopefully we can get. I didn't ask him, but I assume that maybe he would love to play golf with us. I didn't ask him.
Might be a strong word.
I'm an optimist.
Grudgingly, he might accept.
He would say, okay, fine. You're paying for it, though. You're paying for it. All right, we move into the clubhouse now, Mike. It's your turn. Okay, yep. So you had an idea. Speaking of characters, you had an idea for this, and which was exciting in and of itself. Now
that I had an idea, yeah. Thanks.
Now tell me what that looks like. What are we doing?
You are going to be doing some character impressions.
Okay, all right. And what kind of character? Just made up people?
Well, they all are, aren't they?
Yeah, I guess you're a good point. It's an excellent point.
All right. All right, so first, are you ready to do this? Do you think you have this in you?
Yeah, I know I do.
Sure?
I know I do.
Okay. All right, so first.
Okay.
First impression, Dwight from The Office, Dwight Schrute.
Michael! It's pretty good.
It's good.
Okay, next.
Close.
Next.
How about Batman?
Ooh, there's several Batmans. I'm going to pick Christian Bale Batman.
Okay.
I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yes.
Who are you? Sound nice. Like Macho Man Randy Savage.
That was very. That was. Ooh, that, yeah. was bit, that was. I should have had that on the list. That's right. A bonus.
All right, there's
bonus
a impression. Bonus impression.
Bonus impression.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. Next one. Enough of that.
Sorry. once you get into Macho Man, it's hard to get out.
Slow down.
Yeah. Apologies.
Tony Montana.
Oh.
Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend.
Sure.
Okay. So, I mean, that's everyone's impression of that is that. Go ahead.
It is.
Right, this is starting to get
this one. I'm not sure. This could be a difficult one. Okay. Marty McFly from Back to the Future.
Okay. Doc, you're telling me that you built a DeLorean out of a time machine? That's not right. Let me reverse that.
What?
Doc. You're telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean? That's pretty damn good.
Actually, that was shockingly pretty damn good. That was pretty good.
All right, next.
That was pretty good.
All right. About Will Hunting from Good Will Hunting. God.
All right. Do you like apples? That's awful.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples? Oh.
Sure.
God, that's bad.
That was an attempt at a Boston accent.
What would you want to do? I don't know. Who am I? Bill Burr?
Love him so much. You should know how to.
How do you like them? How do you like them apples? I'm sounding like Robert Kennedy. How do you like them apples? Yep. Okay, go ahead. Next.
All right. Let's do this one's probably one of the best character actors of all time.
Okay.
Let's do Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura. What's God. This is so easy. What's the line? Do not go in there. Oh yeah. Do not go in there. Woo!
Sure.
Next. Go.
How about Diego Montoya?
This idea was only to embarrass me and make me look stupid. Congratulations. Well done.
Thank you.
Next.
How about Diego Montoya?
Oh, and Diego Montoya. Bride. Yeah, Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. Yeah.
You killed my father. Prepared that. Hello. My name is Diego Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Stop saying that. Hello. Next.
I felt like that was a cross between Inigo Montoya and Tony Montana.
It was. It's the same person.
A little bit. same guy. Same guy. All right.
Cool. It's not, but Manny right. Patinkin and Al Pacino.
Yep. Go ahead. Yep. How about Lebowski?
Oh, I hate that guy. I love that guy, but I can't do that. I'm going to pass that one. I'm going to pass it.
Fine.
White Russian, dude. Hey, dude. No, it's what does he say? You know, it's the dude or El Duderino if you're not on the whole brevity thing. I can't do it.
Fine.
Next. How many more of these? My God.
This is the last one.
Okay.
George Bailey.
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life. I got to get into this one.
This
is reaching back. Yeah, this is back in the 40s. Back in the 40s. Here we go. Yeah. George Bailey, It's a Wonderful Life. No, Mr. Garcia, you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't. And that goes for you, too. Man, that goes for you, too. Thoughts?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I can do that entire scene.
This was entertaining to me.
I'm sure it was.
If no one else.
What about you? Do you have any? Can you do one? Can you do any of those on that list? No, why would
I'm not doing it.
You're not doing any of it?
No, I'm not doing it.
I think George Bailey...
You just
Bailey,
have to say no sometimes.
George
Adam.
Bailey closes the door.
You just have to say no.
Mr. Gower. Mr. Gower.
You just have to say no sometimes.
You put the medicine in the pill box, Mr. Gower.
Okay, that's enough.
Stick and Act Show brought to you by...
For God's sake.
Manscaped. Manscaped.com. 20% off your order and free shipping. Use the code Stick and Hack. Proud sponsor. Maybe not proud. But they're a sponsor.
Begrudgingly sponsored.
My thanks to Jim Davis, creator of Garfield. What a treat and a joy it was to have him on the show. Go to stickandhack.com and become a member today. Free member of the greatest golf club in the world. Without the course. Mike, what an incredible show. Proud of you, sir.
Great show. Proud of you.
See you later.
Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.